Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
Oh my goodness, Roma! They earn a 1-1 draw against Napoli late thanks to a goal from Angelino before getting all the action, all the breakdown, getting into the cat that sits atop the head of Antonio Conte. We have to thank our newest patron over at Patreon, who has to have one of the top five names. Mancini is my spirit animal. Thanks so much for your support. If you would like to join the chaotic group chat, if you would like to see what all of the other psychos are doing right now after that performance and result, you can go to Patreon.com/RomaPress at Ice Roma Press on social media, YouTube, like, subscribe. And before getting into the action, I'm still in a new place. The support, a couple of you I've reached out to, Andy knows, but I've been keeping it under wraps, but I've been going through some personal stuff. Some of you have been extremely supportive, and it means the world to me more than I could ever put into words. So I just want to know that anybody who has reached out to me, it means a lot, and I thank all of you. Well, if you were already unstable before that match, the final 20 to 30 minutes didn't help Andy. I want to get this out of the way immediately because, like most people, I have very few options when it comes to watching these matches, and the analysis to which I am treated to, you are sort of at the mercy of the broadcaster. I am at the mercy of DAZN Italia, which, as per usual, does not have the best analysis. I am listening right now, and in the background, I've muted it, but I have the captions, and it is talking about how Antonio Conte's side was unlucky to leave without victory tonight, this is obviously an Ice Roma podcast, and this is obviously an Ice Roma network, Andy, but even if I were to take off the yellow and red glasses, I don't know which realm of reality you need to exist in to convince yourself that Napoli deserved a victory tonight. So this board where we follow all of the subjects that we're going to be talking about tonight, and trust me, I do my absolute best to, you know, keep it in somewhat order. I'm just going to go to it now. We're just going to jump right to it. This thing where it says lucky with the question mark. No, it wasn't right. Lucky. I should put unlucky. Roma deserved. If anybody deserved to win tonight, it was Roma. There's no debate there. There's no debate here. If there is a debate, it is, should Roma walk away from tonight with 1 or 3 points? That is it. Beyond that, I'm not listening to analysis. I am not going to torture myself further by putting on Sky Sport, Sport Italia. I'm not going to read Gazzetta in the morning. I am not going to subject myself to any other outside analysis, because if you have eyes, if you have a television, or you don't even need a television, if you have a mobile and you watched that match, Andy, Roma were the better side, no? Simple as that.
Roma were definitely not in a position to lose this game. They shouldn't have been in a position to lose this game. I imagine that Napoli would have at least slipped up in terms of just the drive. You know, they've been on an unbelievable run. They played against Atalanta. They played against Juve. They were bound to slip up at some point. Seeing Leonardo Spinazzola on the score sheet made my blood boil. Blood boil.
Well, hold on. We have to take responsibility for that. I will be the first to raise my hand.
We spoke it into existence. I
said Spinazzola, and then you added Juan Jesus, who had the assist.
Every time. The last time we said it was Zaniolo for Atalanta. I mean, what in the world
Pordino,
is happening?
Pordino. It was hot. It was tasty. It was horrific.
It's unbelievable, and yet it happened. Spinazzola, who probably has maybe two goals in his life.
I was just about to say, in what year could he have done that, the AS Roma? He wasn't the Andy. He wasn't even doing that when he was at that peak year. We all remember that run.
Maybe with Fonseca. No, he did have, he did score, I think, a couple of goals with Fonseca. But still, you know, it's, what are the odds of this happening for Spinazzola, who has entered retirement, who will be going to a nursing home at the end of the season? It's already booked and planned. It's, for me, this was the, and I must say, you know, this was the kind of game, like, you could argue, for example, that Roma took a bit too much joy in the equalizer. Fine. But I do think that this is the kind of game that Roma had definitely prepared. And it's not the first time, yes, I have this impression with Ranieri, that sort of, what I said, we spoke about it, I think it was halfway through the season when Ranieri was here already for a month or so. I said that the one glaring difference between him, Juric, and De Rossi is that with Ranieri, you always have a sense that the team has done its preparation, done its homework. That's why the loss against AZ Alkmaar or Como, for example, were so deflating, because you almost felt like these guys didn't do their homework. On these occasions, they had forgotten about it. You know, when you are, and so this time around, I really did think, especially if you consider the lineup that Ranieri fielded,
we have to get to that. Yeah,
yeah, I mean, that deserves a whole discussion. But I think there, it's a clear signal that Ranieri prepared it this way, and this is that. He prepared us to suffer in the opening half and to then put the pressure on a Napoli that was tired and on a Napoli that doesn't have the kind of depth that we may associate with the top teams. You know, a team that puts in as their first substitute Mazzocchi is not exactly the kind of team that Inter, for example, are. You know, it's not like, oh, Fratesi's on or Zielinski's on. No, Mazzocchi, you know. So that's what I'm saying, is that perhaps this was all worked out to end this way. I'm not saying that the team was aiming for a draw, but you can see that they were definitely thinking about how to hurt Napoli. And in my opinion, they got very close to doing that.
They did get very close to doing, you know, to hurting Napoli, but I do think we have to discuss this thing, and you mentioned it already, you know, the tactics of Ranieri to have the balls to make such a real turnabout from the teams that we've seen in recent weeks under him. I mean, it seemed very clear that the 3-5 or the 3-4-2-1 sort of hybrid was the path that he was going to remain at. And I saw very little reason as to why that would, or why that wouldn't be any different than tonight. And then to see so many things. Do we start with the four-man defense? Do we start with Brian Cristante rising up? Undertaker from the WWE would have been jealous in the manner in which Brian Cristante arose from the grave tonight. Andy, you and I joked about how this guy needed to have a newspaper photo, a proof of life photo published, because it seemed as if he disappeared into thin air. Yes, he was dealing with injuries, but then to reemerge like this was so bizarre. I mean, there's several things we could talk about. Shomurodov, where do you even want to begin with the tactics? Because that took, again, a lot of balls, because it's one of those decisions where if it goes right, you're a genius, but if it goes bad, you really look the fool. But the thing that I find most interesting, Andy, is you kind of said it already. They prepared that way. They didn't look surprised. They didn't look uncomfortable. They gave Napoli problems. Now, as to whether or not that necessarily led to the goal, listen, if you were to put the scenario that Juan Jesus would pick out Leonardo Spinazzola, who would subsequently chip the goalkeeper and score a goal into the back of the net, I take that bet every single day. I bet my house at which point, you know, today I would be coming from the cardboard box, freezing to death. There was no scenario in which a goal tonight would have been predicted by anybody with a pulse. So for that to be the only goal they could see, and even after that, Napoli ended tonight with an XG of 0.3. They did nothing. In fact, really, beyond the goal, Andy, the only dangerous opportunity I saw was at the 88th or 89th minute when they had a 4-on-2, a counterattack, and I believe it was Ndika who did a fantastic job at breaking it up. And Roma, they immediately recover the ball and go on to the attack, and they get the equalizer to Angelino just a minute or two later. And by the way, that goal, I mean, the hit, the delivery from Salamakers, I mean, if you want sort of the embodiment the resurrection of AS Roma,
embodiment of a more cheerful second half of the season. It's those two guys, right? It starts with guys like Salamakers and like Angelino getting it done for the team out of nowhere, more of it, because Angelino, up until a year ago, when he was coming here, everybody was skeptical. All of a sudden, now he's a hero. Salamakers, also, people were skeptical. His best season was at Bologna with Thiago Motta. You know, what do we need him for? And now, imagine a lineup without Salamakers. You can't. Imagine a lineup without Angelino. You can't.
Right. Yeah, and you'll see that goal today in the way those two played. And it just looks Ivan Juric every single day. Again, the Geneva Convention should be able to classify him as a war criminal. Just a few months ago, Andy, he was playing as a central defender and next to like Brian Cristante, and we were having to be spoken to with a straight face and accepted as fact-filled or logical response that, well, I don't see Mats Hummels in this role. I see Brian Cristante and Ndika instead of him. Oof. Okay, sure. Anyway, getting back to the tactics, though, I thought there were so many things that really could have blown up into the face of Ranieri tonight, and they didn't. I mean,
People were ready to put him on blast. People were ready.
Yes, they were.
And imagine the media. Imagine if it didn't work. Imagine what they would have done ahead of this match against Milan. You would have Caso Hummels, Caso Dybala, Caso this, mm-hmm. Caso that. Just to give you an idea of how these decisions reverberate around this town. Yeah, that was a ballsy move, but it made sense because Ranieri knows his men. Ranieri himself said it so many times that Hummels with him would play any match ever.
Yes.
If he doesn't play today, there is a reason for that. If he doesn't play today, it's because Mancini will be suspended against Milan and you need fresh legs. So,
yes.
And tonight, we saw what happened. In the second half, Ranieri put them all on. Because he was hoping that Roma's experience and the quality of those individual players would give the team that burst of energy that would then help overtake Napoli. Napoli were running on fumes. Napoli didn't have the same kind of depth off the bench. And he was proven right. It was a ballsy move, but he was proven right.
Yeah, he really was. There's very little, in my opinion, that you can take issue with. Now, if you would have told us before the match, when did Paulo Dybala come on, 85th or something with Baldanzi? I mean, he was introduced very late. There are aspects of this that you can certainly question in terms of a like-for-like change. Why start that guy or this guy? But if you just look in terms of overall effectiveness, I really struggle to see how anyone can say that what Ranieri did tonight was wrong as far as the overall result go, because I'm still playing the zone in the background and they're saying the same things right now. Somebody is questioning the inclusion of Cristante and how much that would have impacted the match, which just some of these talking points, it just seems like people are talking to talk. I mean, if we want to speak of things that could have changed, was there anything for you that he got wrong? Because I still struggle to see where there was a clear difference made when it when a substitution was made. But the other part of this too is it's not as if, you know, Antonio Conte is this terrible manager who, you know, when it comes to tactics, he's, you know, a bit underwhelming. Yes, you generally know how a side managed by Antonio Conte is going to play. But I mean, to be able to at least match him in his approach, technically, tactically, I thought Roma did everything right tonight. I mean, if you're going to walk away with a draw against Napoli at home, with the lone goal of the team sitting atop the Serie A table, coming from Leonardo Spinazzola, chipping the ball over Svilar, who has undoubtedly been at least the top three goalkeeper in Serie A this season, you have to take that, right? I mean, there were people, Andy, as you said, in the group, Patriot group chat, up into the goal. I mean, they were not happy with some of Ranieri's decisions tonight. And I guess I can understand, had they lost tonight, yes, of course, it looks much worse. So is he saved by Angelino? Well, no, I don't think that's the right way to look at it.
Listen. We all know, first of all, how many times has Paulo Dybala gotten injured when he was on a good streak? You know, how many times when you put the pressure on that schedule, when you are playing we played on Thursdays, guys. I mean,
you've pointed it out the last five episodes how much this guy has played. We can blame you for that one too. That is Juan Jesus.
And we played on Thursday. We're playing on Wednesday again. So, at some point, as a manager, and Ranieri is very much in tune with these guys, you know, who did he rest? He rested Dovbyk, who's played every single match. And who did he replace him with? With Shomurodov, who was just coming off two really good games, had been given the immense confidence that comes with the fact that Ranieri said, you know, you're staying, you're not going anywhere. So, great, let's put him on there. Hummels, who is 59 years old, and you know, has to be taken on a stretcher every time he gives his 100% on the pitch. Then when he goes home, he's probably laying around with nurses all around him. And Dybala, who we know his injury history, especially in crucial moments of the season. It's happened repeatedly, that whenever we would enter such a grueling schedule like the one that we're about to enter now, where was Dybala? In the infirmary. So
yes,
you have to manage these guys. And again, look at Napoli's change. Look at the names that came off the bench for Napoli. Tell me one of those names makes your skin crawl because of how scary it is for you to see that kind of quality play. There's not a single player there that convinces me as coming off the bench for a Scudetto contender. So what Ranieri is doing is he's putting on the pressure on Conte to figure the match within the first half hour, 45 minutes. And then he's like, okay, you know what? Now I'm putting the experienced guys. And again, you may argue perhaps, could they have pushed for a win? Could they have pushed beyond that equalizer? At the same time, Napoli had like five attackers by the end of the game. And Roma know themselves by now. Roma know that after a season of so many ups and downs, how many times have we seen this team concede a stupid counterattack right after scoring a goal of our own?
Yes.
What did we do at Bologna? What the hell did we do?
Correct.
You know? So we have to take it. We have to take this draw because we would have taken it a few days ago. Just a few days ago,
exactly.
If you would have said,
exactly,
you are drawing at the 92nd minute with Angelino, you would have said, please, Lord, allow me to see Antonio Conte take the next flight out to Istanbul for another hair transplant.
It's just amazing. You know, I just find the analysis of some matches to be so curious sometimes because everybody watches the same thing, but how our eyes, or I should say how our brain interprets what we saw is very interesting to me. Like I'm reading something now, Gazzetta, one of those articles where they do the commentary, they basically say the visitors looked to be the more comfortable of the two teams tonight. It's confusing to me. I don't agree with it at all.
Because you have to, they follow the trend, no? So Napoli obviously are sitting on top of the table, right? They are the ones that are sort of in charge of the league right now. So
sure, but
by default, the result itself right now, if you just look at it the way this way, you think to yourself, oh, well, Roma just crawled into this game. And no, Roma did not crawl into this game. Roma took this game. They took it. It wasn't given to them. It wasn't a Napoli slip-up. It was Roma just kept pounding and pounding and pounding until they found a way to break them down.
Yeah, they did. I got to stop reading and torturing myself. Well, let's go into the thing as the last portion here. The thing that most people were discussing about the match, or I should say in relation to Ranieri's selections, it is what you already mentioned, Coppa Italia against Milan. I am interested as to how certain supporters prioritize the calendar. Frankly, I guess to some degree I can understand it, but given how poor the season has went, I don't comprehend how you would be comfortable saying that Roma have the duty to prioritize the shortest path to a trophy, and that is the Coppa Italia. Have they listened to anything you have said? You have this fantastic habit of reminding people of how shit they have done in this competition for the last decade and one and a half decades. I mean, more than that. I can't say two full decades. I believe 2008 was the last time they raised the trophy at the Coppa Italia.
Sure.
So, and by the
way, are we counting 2013 as a success or not? Are we thinking to ourselves since 2013, or are we thinking the last time that we won, which exactly?
Well, you brought that up. Now I need to know: is Andreazzoli, does he still manage Aurelio?
He's still active.
No,
he's still active.
Oh my gosh. Most recently, it was Empoli. Yeah, what was last season? What am I speaking of? 1, 2, 3, 4.
Of course, that was why it was so hilarious. It was the master teaching the student.
Oh, my goodness. And Ternana. How could I forget? Oh, who are now managed by Ignazio Abate. Oh, my gosh. Time is a son of a bitch. But anyway, listen. For those that were getting mad up until the goal of Angelino saying, oh my gosh, I can't believe that Ranieri would or wouldn't prioritize the Coppa Italia. Andy, there's really no priority. You know what the priority is right now for this team? Win games. Doesn't matter what competition it is. I know that sounds so stupid. Just win, baby, win. But really, do you think this team has earned the luxury to... to be able to pick and choose which competition they are able to prioritize. Now, again, I didn't want the Roma to go to the Europa League playoff, so I'm not going to pretend that I have full-fledged confidence in their ability to make it to the final. But let's be clear, even though I am upset about two additional matches, this team does not, has not, and for the foreseeable future, will not have the luxury of being able to pick and choose. So whether, you know, Ranieri decides to start Shomurodov, play four-man defense, we just have to live with it. We're trying to play like this eight-dimensional chess as if they have this. Do you think, of all people, do you think Claudio Ranieri, like in his office at Trigoria, he has this big calendar, like a big whiteboard, and it's got the calendar, and he's prioritizing that guy could play there, this guy here, he could play there against Milan, Coppa Italia. Give me a break. You take the guys that are available, and you have to try and win. I do not think, with how terrible Roma were in the first 3 to 4 months of this season, I have a genuinely difficult time believing that they are in there, planning 2 to 3 weeks ahead of, we can play him here, rest him there. Andy, they don't have that luxury. They don't have that. That's something that when you lose as much as they've done early in the season, you don't get to pick and choose. You go out there, you win. Having said that, you're going to have Partibala. You're going to have Dovbik. You are going to have a lot of guys at your disposal you would assume are pretty healthy for us, and you would like their odds at being able
no,
to get
no Mancini. No Mancini. Mancini suspense. Yes.
So our new patron, Mancini, is my spirit animal. You'll have to find someone else.
You'll have to change the username again.
Yeah, but I mean, hey, it worked out for Ranieri today. They got a good result. And you were able to rest a lot of guys. You have to like their chances. No, I mean, Milan has been.
Yeah. And that's what Ranieri just said. You know, you have to, he explained thoroughly his thinking. Exactly that what we said is you need to rest your players and you need to read your opponent. And he knew that Napoli would get tired. He knows that Napoli still haven't replaced Kvara. Napoli sold Kvara a month ago. They still haven't replaced him. The players that they have at their disposal, it's a short team, man. It's a short team. So for Ranieri, it was important just to give those top guys, Dovbyk, Dybala, those 40 minutes of rest, just enough to keep them, you know? And he knows that you just can't keep squeezing this team because these guys will give their all for Ranieri. Right now, that's what they're doing. In the good and the bad, they have good games, they have bad games, but they're really giving their all, and he knows it. The moment you start throwing them out there just because you're afraid that if you'll have to, I don't know, rely on Rensch in the starting 11, or if you'll have to rely on Sule, you may have a drop in quality, then the whole team will collapse onto itself. You know, the kind of thing that happened with Juric at the helm. When Juric started toying around with the lineup, and clearly he had made it a point that some guys just don't give him the certainty that he needs, that's when the team folded. Yes. All of them. Because that you just feel it. It's in the locker room. It's guys who are unhappy. Imagine Pellegrini had to console. He had to talk to Mats Hummels in Brussels because Cristante was starting ahead of him. The whole locker room knew it was wrong. The whole locker room felt there was something that wasn't right about that situation and that the team was not going to perform as well as it would with Hummels in the lineup. Persistence in that direction caused the team to just implode. And Ranieri knows that he has to avoid doing that, especially when you're playing every three games. Goes into this Coppa Italia match. Hell, it's the Coppa Italia. We've said it so many times. Again, it gets boring. We suck at this competition. We can't take it for granted. Mind you, Roma can't take for granted any competition, maybe except for the Conference League, which they have actually won within the last decade or so. What they can do is focus match for match and also pay just as much attention as a game like Napoli to the match against Milan in the Coppa Italia, but interpret it for what it is, just a game. Don't think about the competition itself, because we've seen what happens to Roma when they think about, oh, yeah, it's the Coppa Italia, so technically you only play three or four games, and you've won the competition. You know, it's easy peasy. No, it's not. It's really, really lemon difficult. If you know the reference to this movie, in The Loop with James Gandolfini.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's not easy. It's difficult, and that's the case for Roma in the Coppa Italia. I would like to say that Milan are a mess. Okay, Milan are a mess today. They could have locked up this this derby. They did not.
I say it many times about the draw. The way you get the draw. Milan are like the Napoli of tonight. Milan are the ones who can see the Lecco. De Vrij, he scores for Inter. They get the draw in the derby. Meanwhile, Roma, they draw late to Napoli. I mean, Andy, that is sort of an underrated thing, the momentum part. Obviously, you can't quantify that in sport, but we've seen how Coin Sao in these early days has been very critical of how shit Milan are. I would say conceding in that moment whilst Roma, they score late, that, again, you can't quantify momentum or, you know, energy coming into a match. But certainly, you would prefer to be in the position of Roma versus Milan coming into this match. I mean, I'm not trying to play, you know, sideline psychologist, but, I mean, Milan have been horrible lately. Let's remember that. Horrible. And they squandered a big opportunity tonight. And with Roma, as you said, they've been terrible in this competition. They can't take it for granted. But let's just see what happens. You rested enough guys tonight. There's a reason for optimism against Milan. There's plenty of reason for optimism. Let's see what they do. We'll be back after that match. We'll be back midweek, Coppa Italia. Roma facing Milan in the quarterfinals. Until next time, everyone, ciao.
Ciao.